You're listening to Engage with Andy Bush. To connect with the program today, please send an email to andrew.bush@comcast.net. That's andrew.bush@comcast.net. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back to Engage. I'm your host, Andy Bush. We continue with my speech from The Money Show Las Vegas, covering what Congress is going to do next. In this segment, we will talk about whether Congress raises the gas tax to pay for the Highway Fund Trust. We also talk about what Warren Buffett can do that you can't do. And also, we'll start talking about tax reform. I'm Andy Bush. Please let me know your thoughts on what this is all about.
And just a side note on Warren Buffett, he's a really, really smart guy from a number of standpoints, and he's fantastic for investors. And he did a really smart thing, which is, of course, to buy a rail company way back when, right? But I will also tell you, he's also a very, very good political animal. And my guess is that he fought tooth and nail not to have Keystone done. I don't know what all the agreements are, but my guess is that was one of the ones that he asked Obama never to pass if he wanted Buffett's support on income inequality issues and coming out in favor of raising taxes on the wealthy, as he stated.
Is that fair? I mean, is that really fair?
Of course not. But you have to remember, right, and just to give you a little more insight about Buffett, he was on the phone with Chuck Schumer talking to him during the financial crisis, and this is not like a secret or anything, about making, you know, whether or not Congress was going to pass the big bailout bill, right, the capital injection bill. So he's on the phone with Schumer. At the same time, he's buying preferred shares in Goldman Sachs, knowing full well they're going to pass that other thing that's going to make his investment really pay off in a very short period of time. So that's the game. And when we're talking about politics, you really have to understand that these are the dynamics that are underneath this. And I don't think I'm speaking out of turn. You just have to be aware of it. So when you see these big actors getting involved and they're doing things, sit up and pay attention. It's like activist investors. Those are the guys you want to keep an eye on. You also want to know what insiders are doing, right? Right? This is the game. And we can hate it and rail against it, and it's really unfair, but you need to be aware of it, right? So that you can sadly take advantage of it and not get hurt by it. So keep that in mind. I don't know if we're going to get a national gas tax hike or it's going to be part of a bigger tax reform package. It could be. We could see another patch put through for Highway Trust Fund. I'm not quite sure how this is all going to get played out. All I know is that now you've got, let's see, whatever day is today. What is May 14th? What is it, May 13th, right? Congress has 18 days to come up with this fix for the Highway Trust Fund. So this is going to be a rush to get something done. Yes, sir, you have a question?
Andy, the question I have is why? How does it really ever get there?
How does it get there?
There must be a lot of people from a pragmatic point of view. They put that gas tax in. There's been money there. It hasn't been used for that purpose. It's gone somewhere else. How do you guarantee something get there when you get through?
You know, it's a tough question. So the question is, how do you make sure that if they do hike, that it actually goes to where it's supposed to go? That's a great question. Not sure I have an answer for it. You know, the the odd thing is that there's a lot of mass transit stuff that's in the Highway Trust Fund bill, right, or Highway Trust Fund overall, that you don't necessarily hear about. It doesn't necessarily go to bridges and roads. There's a lot of mass transit stuff that's in there. So you really have to dive into this a little bit to understand where this money flows to. And I've spent a lot of time trying to research, like, who the companies that are going to benefit from this the most. It'll be the large engineering and construction companies, but you really got to look granularly down at the state level to figure out who's going to get these contracts. And of course, in Illinois, which is where I come from, it's kind of hard to figure out, you know, until the contract's already signed, who's going to get it. So, right. Right. So that's the tricky part. All right. So let me keep going through this. I want to talk about tax reform because this is the thing that I think we can all look to and get a kind of fundamental understanding of what's going on here. There's two different ways of looking at this. And the Democrats look at this, generally speaking, not everyone, but they want to raise revenue by closing loopholes. This is what they state, to fund new and old spending levels. So I applaud the Democrats for trying to reduce the deficit through closing of some of these loopholes, and I'm talking about business tax reform now. On the other hand, this is not pro-growth. And Steve Forbes would agree with me, I think, that, look, if we're going to engage in tax reform, we want to simplify the code. But truly what we want to do is, if we're going to make changes, let's make it pro-growth. Don't do it unless you're going to get growth out of it, because otherwise, why would you? So our corporate tax code fails us, and it fails us on a number of fronts because more and more companies are not corporations. They're pass-through entities. And that's where we're losing this, if you want to look at it this way, from a governmental standpoint. You're losing tax receipts because of all the pass-through entities. And those pass-through entities have lower tax levels than at the C level, right? And so the S level, partnerships, LLCs, all of those things have exploded in the number of them because of this tax capability. It's much lower. And that occurred, you know, by the way, that was something that we had in the last tax reform under Reagan. So just keep that in mind, that explosion was a good thing, right? We wanted to encourage businesses forming. We wanted to take away some of the red tape for them and make it easier. Now, of course, as Steve Forbes pointed out, since the last tax reform, we have like 44,000 more IRS regulations and things, and it's a mess. So everybody wants to simplify the code. That's great. But if you just simplify the code, that's not necessarily a good thing, especially if you close loopholes without dramatically lowering the rate. And our rate on a nominal basis is at 35%. On an effective basis, it's probably 28%, but we're still at least 8% higher than many of those in the OECD. And of course, we're almost, I want to say, at least 10% higher than places like Ireland. And as Steve rightly pointed out in his talk, the UK has cut their rate for corporations significantly over the years. And they did it actually during the financial crisis as well. They were wise because they knew that we don't just compete within our country, we compete globally. And if you want to keep businesses in your country, then you have to do this. So I just want to make one more point here on that before I keep clicking through this, is that the reason why we've seen tax inversions, right, you've seen this a lot, is because precisely that reason. Our tax code is such a mess that companies are saying, well, look, if I can domicile myself in Ireland or in the UK or in even Canada, right, that's beneficial for our company. It makes us more profitable because it reduces our tax incidence. And that's what they're doing. That's why Burger King bought Hortons, right? It's bizarre, but okay. And I applaud that. I think that's fine. I don't have any issue with this. It's not a patriot issue. It's clearly an issue of the tax code that's broken, and that's what we need to change. Now, the Treasury's changed some of the rules on inversion, so they've made it more difficult. But what I also see is that unless tax reform happens, every profitable U.S. company will have a bullseye on its back. Because there's another company overseas looking at U.S. companies and saying, you know, if I bought those guys, I just made that other entity 5 to 7% more profitable because we will take away the U.S. tax code. Do you have a question? No. Oh, you're just yawning?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Okay, obviously, I'm not doing a good enough. This isn't scintillating stuff. I'm talking about tax reform. So it's okay. It's okay. But I think that's really important. So, you know, and I meet with a lot of different people. I will tell you that Emerson Electric, one of the biggest, you know, companies out there in St. Louis, is really concerned about this. They're worried that another foreign entity is going to take them over, at least try to do it. And so with all this M&A activity, when you're seeing foreign firms buying U.S. firms, this is one of the big drivers in that process. If a U.S. domestic firm has a high relative tax level, they're a target for a takeover. So keep that in mind.
All right, let's take a time out here. And next up, we'll talk more fully about tax reform. You're listening to Engage. I'm Andy Bush. We'll be right back.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Tune in to The Soul of Enterprise, Business in the Knowledge Economy, with co-hosts Ron Baker and Ed Kless. Ron and Ed will show you how to recognize that wealth is created by intellectual capital. It's all in the possibilities that we can create and that are created for us. These possibilities are destined to be discovered by human imagination and through the service of others, creating a brighter future for all of us. The Soul of Enterprise is heard live every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Business Channel.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.